and welcome to another edition of Tell Me About IT with Jeffrey Snover. I'm Lindsay Berg. I'm a Senior Product Marketing Manager with Microsoft in the Cloud and Enterprise Division, and I'm super excited to talk to Jeffrey a little bit more about some of the themes that we're bringing to the table with Windows Server 2016. So, Jeffrey, what are we here to talk about today?
Storage.
Oh, that's so great, because I feel like there's a lot in the operating system with the terms of storage features that we haven't necessarily covered, you know, as much detail as we could have.
Yeah, you know, for the longest time, we just sort of weren't on the storage roadmap, right? For people doing serious computing, Windows meant go buy a SAN.
Right.
And that worked very, very well. The only problem was pretty expensive.
Sure.
And it required different hardware topology,
right,
you know, different wiring, and then different administration. So really, we changed that with Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2. We decided that we're going to address that, we're going to help lower cost,
right,
simplify the administration, and we really got into storage in a big way, and not everybody's familiar with that. So the first thing we did was converged networks.
Okay.
So what's converged networks? So basically,
right,
it's replacing fiber channel with Ethernet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and guess what? That's a ton cheaper.
Sure.
And then the question is, okay, but you could have Ethernet using iSCSI. Well, here what we did was we used scale-out file servers. So this is Spaces.
Right.
Spaces now allowed Windows itself to be able to manage the disks, have lots of disks, be able to manage them in logical volumes.
Sure.
To have ReFS, or reliable file system.
Right.
To be able to have multiple types of storage, slow,
right,
storage, fast storage, tiered storage. Be able to deduplicate the storage, and then to be able to aggregate it across multiple machines. So you had multiple paths to it. If any one path went down, you had failover. So all of a sudden you had, you know, lots of very inexpensive storage that's highly reliable, incredibly fast. One of the key innovations was SMB Direct.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so SMB Direct. So that was SMB 3.
Mm-hmm.
SMB 3 was the revolution.
Yes.
That's SMB is the way you talk,
yeah,
to things. And SMB Direct allowed us to use RDMA NICs. And I don't know if you, I've been telling everyone, boy, if you're buying a new server, you want to buy a NIC that supports RDMA. Because what RDMA does is it basically, you know, this much work has to be done. With RDMA, you do this much, and then you hand it off to hardware.
Okay.
And then hardware does the rest.
Right.
And it reduces the latency,
mm-hmm,
and the bandwidth goes up. It's just crazy. So we've had a number of great demonstrations of that, how you're doing something, and then we switch to an RDMA NIC, bandwidth goes up like this, and CPU utilization goes down like that. So just wonderful.
That's fantastic. So storage spaces in Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2 obviously, yeah, was a big advance for us. It didn't mean you had to give up your SAN, though, did it?
No. In fact, that's actually one of my favorite parts of the story, because what we did was we said, we're also going to make your investment, your existing investments, more valuable. Now, how do you make it more valuable? Well, you get better value out of it with things like offload data transfer.
Okay.
So here's imagine. Now imagine you're here. We're in Redmond. Imagine you were talking to your data center in Europe.
Right.
Okay. And say you had a 4 gigabyte VHD that you wanted to copy from one directory to another directory. Well, before offload data transfer, what would happen is you'd go to Explorer and you'd say file transfer. A 4 gigabyte VHD would come from Europe to your desktop and then back to Europe.
Right.
Offload data transfer allows us to negotiate with the underlying storage to say, hey, dude, can you do this for me? Like, yeah, I can do that.
Sure.
Can you do it securely? Yeah, it's okay.
Right.
Boom, done.
Great.
And so it's fast. And now we worked with all the SAN vendors so that they would implement that. So you get a lot of value out of that. The next is we had our first and so far our best implementation of data center plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So plug and play, right? If you remember the days before plug and play, you get a CD-ROM and you try and plug it into a system and you'd bend a paper clip and you had these dip switches and there,
sure,
were tiers and there was IRQs and IO maps and you felt like you were the stupidest person in the,
right,
world, except everyone in the world was having the same experience.
Right.
And that's not the experience anymore. Today, what you do is you plug in a DVD like that. Oh, if I gave you a DVD, what would you do?
Right, you'd have to plug it in somewhere.
Well, on the Ultrabook, there's,
yeah,
no
place for DVD.
Right. So what you do is you just go to any store, just pull a USB, right, DVD off the shelf, buy it, come, you plug it in, it just works. You use the DVD and put it,
sure,
in the storage. Now, how did that work? And the answer was we worked with the industry to define a set of protocols so that when you plug it in, we're able to discover it. We're then again able to use standardized protocols to ask, who are you, what are your capabilities? We then find the appropriate software, bring it to play, and then make those services available to use.
Great.
So you just plug it in and go. We did that with SANS.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And by the way, that is no one's experience of any data center component in the world. Prior to Windows Server 2012.
Right.
With 2012, we did it with SANS. So we have an SMIS discovery service. Now, here you have to enter your credentials. That's a good thing, but that's one extra step. But basically, you take a SAN, you plug it in. Your machine will auto-discover the SAN. It'll enumerate the capabilities, and then it'll make those capabilities available to the user via APIs, command line interfaces, local GUIs, and a system center, exactly the same way they would see local Windows storage.
Wow.
So crazy stuff.
It is. So that's great. So what that means is that as you were coming out of 2012, and you're coming out of 2012 R2, and we've added in features to give customers options, both in terms of adding new options with storage to make it more cost effective, still really highly reliable, continue to use your SANs as appropriate. What did you want to do when you got to 2016, having made that much progress?
Better, cheaper, faster.
Okay.
Pretty... When inferior?
When do we not want to do
exactly
better, cheaper, and faster?
Yeah. Yes. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about cheaper.
Sure.
Okay. So the storage spaces we had in 2012 and 2012 R2, you could leverage JBODs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now that was great.
Right.
Much lower cost than these fiber channel SANs, but still you'd have to have SAS disks. Now those are much more expensive than what we now do in storage spaces direct.
Okay.
Storage spaces direct allows us to use direct attached storage. Now here's how this works. You got a regular plain old server, you plug a disk in, happy days. That's direct attached storage. These other disks, other storage we had in 2012 R2, you'd have your server and then you plug in the SAS concentrator. Okay.
Right.
And the SAS concentrator was where you then plugged SAS disks in. Those are more expensive disks. And then multiple computers can connect to the SAS concentrator so that if one guy died, he would detect it and he would take over the disks.
Okay.
So a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
Dramatically cheaper than what you had in the past. But now what we do is we just use the disks that are in the box, they're less expensive disks, and then we use the magic of software to get the same semantics and reliability and performance that we used to get through shared storage.
Which is really what we were talking about last time with this whole idea of software defined, that you're abstracting up off the hardware layer and letting the software do more of the work.
That's the big theme. The big thing is leveraging the magic of software to use value price components to get the best performance and cost.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I've heard people talk a little bit about converged and hyper-converged.
Yes.
There's some words that we're throwing around. Can you talk to me a little bit more about that?
Sure. So Storage Spaces Direct supports both converged and hyper-converged. Converged basically means that you're using Ethernet versus fiber channel.
Okay.
Okay. Now, typically what people mean when they just say converged is that your compute layer is separate than your storage layer.
Okay.
So sometimes people will call it disaggregated, but most people just refer to that as converged. Okay. So you've got a file system, typically a scale-out file system, and then you have Ethernet, and then you have compute servers that then consume that file server. Hyperconverged means that you have a set of standardized servers where both the hypervisor and the storage server are on the same machine.
Oh, okay.
And that really reduces the costs.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Anything else?
And we support those. Oh, of course. Are you kidding?
There's got to be more.
Yeah. Well, then the next is quality of service.
Yes.
So we had basic quality of service in the 2012 R2 range. In this release, we take QoS like to 11. It's just wonderful. No, it's great. Because what you can do is you can do the QoS on a VHD, right?
Right.
So a VM can have a VHD, a disk, and
you
have 1, 2, 3, 4, however many. And you might say, well, in my VM, I've got a SQL, and so the log, I want to have really great QoS for the log VHD.
Absolutely.
So now we have QoS that allows you to have minimum and maximum IOs, IOPS.
Right.
And you can do it on a VHD, or you can do it on a VM, or get this, you can do it on a set of VMs. So you can say these set of VMs have this amount of storage bandwidth allocated to it, and then as one consumes a lot, less is available for the others, et cetera. And
so it allows you to be a lot more efficient is what you're talking about.
A lot more efficient. So it allows the administrator to be able to take shared resources and make them available to lots of people with predictable performance.
Which is so fantastic, because again, this is what we talked about last time with taking the drama out of IT. The more that you can be predictable, the more that you can deliver resources in a way that makes sense to people, the better your job goes.
So having covered cheaper and faster,
yes,
we got better.
We got better.
Okay, so the better is we really spent, you know, if we've talked to people about it, but cloud platform solution. So this is where we took
CPS.
Mm-hmm. We took our hardware from our partner, and we put the software on there, and it's a cloud in a box.
Right. You know? And cloud platform system is something we were just talking about this week, actually, this past week at Dell.
Oh, right. We have the standard version. Mm-hmm. Well, that was just such a wonderful learning experience, because there, our engineers were running the cloud,
right?
Really doing it for themselves. And they're like, hey, why do people have to do this? Why do I have to do that? And it's like, dude, that's what your customers are doing. Like, really? That's not so good. Why don't we do a bunch of things, like improve our logging, improve our diagnostics. Let's have rolling cluster upgrades.
Oh.
Hello, McFly. Right. Yes.
So really the bread and butter of storage is what you're saying to me.
Exactly. So your experience. I got to tell you, that's the stuff I love the most. I mean, these top level features, everyone gets excited about that stuff. But to me, the stuff that really matters is when it's 3:00 in the morning and you're trying to do something and it just works.
Right.
And there's no drama. There's no drama. You take the drama out of it. And so we've done a lot in that space. And of course, another area is deduplication.
Okay.
We had deduplication in 2012 and R2. In this, now we have parallelized deduplication. So it goes very, very fast.
Right.
And of course, PowerShell for everything.
Yes. Well, it wouldn't have been fair if you hadn't brought up PowerShell.
No.
I feel like you had to go there.
And there is PowerShell for everything. It's really great stuff.
It is. And I think it makes a huge difference. I mean, having that consistency of being able to monitor and manage things across all of the different platforms that we run, really.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. So what I'm wondering then is, you know, you mentioned a little bit about our engineers learning things from running the cloud, from building the cloud platform system. Do you feel like the way we're approaching storage is affected by the fact that we run Azure?
Oh, absolutely. The whole design around the storage spaces direct inspired from the Azure storage model.
Okay.
You just have unbelievable amounts of storage, and they are really, you know, it's a very cost-sensitive environment, and they're using the magic of software to do that. And so we couldn't take their implementation. If we could, we would. But they're running at such a large scale. Their minimum scale set is, I forget what, but sort of like hundreds of disks.
Yeah.
Ours were able to start off at a really small number and then grow.
Right.
So we had to have a different implementation, but it's absolutely inspired by the designs of Azure.
Sure. It's that idea that you learn at the hyperscale and then you bring it back to the on-premises data center in a way that really makes sense for the scale that you're operating in.
Oh, my Lord. We almost got through without mentioning Hyper-V replica or storage replica.
Yes.
How we can forget. Now this is crazy because this is, so storage replica, here's the model. I'm sitting here in my data center, I do a write. The write doesn't come back until the write is replicated on another machine. That other machine can be 10 kilometers away.
Okay.
It can be a stretch cluster or just a separate server. Now the point of that is that if I'm doing a database, this is what the really high-end guys just need.
Right. Right?
They need absolute reliability. So when they, you know, nothing comes back until it's replicated somewhere else. So if you have a large power outage, no drama. Everything, every piece of data that is here is there, because the write doesn't return.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that's replica. Now this is something people pay gobs of money per month. I mean, just extraordinarily high amounts of money per month. And now it's included in the operating system. And by the way, it's configurable. That's one of the highest quality services, highest level of service you can get, the synchronous writes. But if you want, you can batch it a bit. You can have a level of asynchronous, which is to say, hey, all the writes that I do within 1 second are replicated there, or within 3 seconds are replicated there.
Right.
So there, it comes back much quicker, but then you have a little bit of loss. If, you know, it's fine if you know you're gonna, you have some planned outage, or you can endure a little bit of data outage. But yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, people go crazy about that. We've talked to some of our high-end customers who, when they hear that that's going to be a feature in Windows Server, it really drives home like our core value proposition. Windows Server's core value proposition has always been the ability to take very high-end compute scenarios mm-hmm. and offer it on value add, you know, value priced components, and bringing it to the masses. So now people who would like, oh, they just love that, but they couldn't possibly because it's so expensive.
Sure.
They're going to be able to build architectures based on this technology.
Which is so great. And I actually think that brings us to our closing point, which is how can customers play with this today? Oh. Is this available? Can we get our hands on it yet?
Absolutely. So you want to pick up the latest technical preview of Windows Server.
Which is available on our eval center.
Yeah.
And we're super excited, I think, to really have the opportunity for customers to start really to experience it hands-on, because it's great for you to talk about it. And I know actually you prefer to demo, and obviously we're going to give you the opportunity to do that at some point. But the idea that you really want to get your hands on the bits and start to understand how all of this fits together, I think is really important for our customers.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. We're very happy to have you here and so glad that you're giving us your time to talk a little bit more about Windows Server 2016. And we will be back with more on another episode. Thanks very much.